Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only. Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Welcome back to Strikeout Bros, episode 13, Lasha and Pablo on the mic. And today we have a special guest, Craig. Craig is one of our, you know, good buddies, and he's a diehard Met fan. And we're going to be talking about a real serious topic tonight. And the topic is, let the fire sale begin. Let the fire sale begin means, should the Mets get ready to just let everybody go and start fresh, or what? Like I said, today's episode is going to be a special episode. We have my man Craig here today, and we're going to ask him a lot of important questions based on whether or not we should get rid of a couple of players on our team. Because, you know, I'm a diehard Met fan, and I knew it was going to be a bad year, and it was supposed to be a year where the young guys in the ball club were supposed to be in development stages and getting ready for 2025. But, you know, we started out 0-5, and then we started to, like, you know, prevail and show signs of a good ball club that might have had a chance to make the postseason. But after our catcher, Alvarez, went down, the team shifted in the wrong direction. And this is what we're going to be talking about tonight. You know, I want to see what's up to my man Lash, and I want to see what's up to my man Craig. How you guys doing tonight?
Doing good. Thank you, man. It's a pleasure to be here.
Awesome.
What's going on, man? I got a lot to talk about this past week. Oh, by the way, how was your vacation?
It was all right, bro. You know what I'm saying? You know, hung out with the old man. You know, he's the diehard Met fan as well. You know, and it's hard for him because, you know, he's getting older. He's, you know, he's itching for that championship. And it doesn't seem like it's going in the right direction for us. But, you know, It's pretty sad to see what's going on right now. It's getting to the point where I don't even want to watch the games. You know, it's a long season, and we're starting to fall apart really early on. And, you know, we're going to talk about this today. We'll definitely talk about this today. So the name of the episode is Let the Fire Sale Begin. So, you know, we had a nice little core, you know, a couple of years ago when, you know, we had McNeil hitting and, you know, winning batting championships. You know, we had Alonso, you know, hitting a lot of home runs and, you know, winning, you know, these home run derbies. We had Nimmo, young buck, you know, coming up and showing us signs of a true star. And we had Edwin Diaz, you know, who had a horrible first year and then became an elite closer. And for some reason, it doesn't seem like that's happening anymore. So who is the true core of this team? We're going to talk about that tonight. Can't wait. This is going to be super interesting. We have this man who's a diehard Mets fan, Craig, on the side here. And he's all about New York and the Origin Blue. He cries for this team when they don't do well. And he's the first one to, you know, chime in and say, wow, what a great game, no matter how bad we are. He's all about, you know, seeing this team shine. But for some reason, we're not doing that right now. So what do you think, Craig? Who do you think is the true core of this team at this moment?
Yes, how you guys doing? I think the true core of this team is Brandon Nimmo. And the reason why I say this is because I believe he's a true Met. He's obviously going to be in New York for a while. He consistently shows that he wants to be here, and he consistently shows that he plays pretty good. And I do think eventually that he should be the captain of the team. What do you guys think?
What do you think, Lash? I have a lot to say, but I want to hear what Lash is saying, because he's coming from the outside looking in. You know, he's a Baltimore Orioles fan. He's a closet Atlanta Braves fan because he lives in Atlanta right now. But he's a diehard Baltimore Orioles fan. I like to hear what he has to say looking from the outside in.
Well, I think if the Mets do re-sign Alonso, then Nimmo will not be the captain. But if they don't re-sign him and they get somebody else like a Soto, I like Nimmo. He grinds out his bats. He brings his lunch pill every day. But I don't see captain in him. Now, I'm not just being not just being against you guys, but I just don't see that in him. But I could be wrong. I don't know. But if they don't re-sign Pete Alonso, then yeah, maybe then, because he would be the only core player you have that you didn't acquire in free agency, and that is homegrown, and he's produced ever since he's came up to the majors. So I like Brandon Nimmo. I think he's good. He's a good outfielder. He plays well. He plays hard. I don't know about captain, but I don't know. That's just my opinion.
But I understand what Craig is saying, though. You know, I understand what you're saying, but Nimmo is the only player on our team right now that comes to play every single day. It's not about how much money you make. We only understand that Lindor makes the most money on the team, and he feels like, you know, he should wear the C on his chest, but he's definitely not the captain of the team. I think he gets way too involved in a lot of the team drama, and he wants to show us that, you know, he can lead, but he's not hitting, you know, and he has a serious problem on the left side. So I don't understand, you know, why they would even allow him to hit from that side. He should hit from the right side only, and he has, you know, great defensive skills, and he shows those skills on a daily basis. But when it comes to, you know, a pivotal at bat, Lindor can't show up. You know, I think Nimmo is a way better player than Lindor will ever be in that sense as a Mets fan. You know, granted, when he played in Cleveland, he was a great, you know, he was an all-star. But he came to New York, he got the money, and for some reason, like, there's something wrong. I just can't understand it. But the new core of this team, in my eyes, is Alvarez. Even though he's out, I think that he's a leader as well, you know, because he has to, you know, catch on a daily basis, and he has to make sure that he understands the rotation. I think that Brett Beatty has a lot to learn, but I think, you know, he's young, and he will be able to produce in the later years. You know, like, yeah, it takes time for a player to develop, you know, and this is why he's here. You know, he's no David Wright, not yet, but I think he can become a David Wright. I also think that players like Tyrone Taylor, you know, make a difference in the ball club. I think that DJ Stewart is a great asset to the team. And, you know, I feel like McNeil is having problems now, and he's unable to hit. Ever since they changed the game and they changed the shift, you know, he's been having problems hitting. Like, he's a contact hitter. So for me, it really bothers me, because a contact hitter is like a great asset to your team. You know, contact hitting now is like, you know, an art form that nobody really uses anymore. Everybody tries to hit the ball really hard, and they're not really, you know, putting the ball into play. You know, it's like when you play pool, you know, you have to hit the ball in certain angles, and you have to hit the ball in, you know, certain ways to get the ball into play, you know, because you have now you have this setup where you can't shift, you know, so you have to understand that there's a lot of open gaps and directions you can hit the ball to produce a hit. And I think that McNeil is having a serious problem because, if anything, I would think that it would be easier for him in this situation, now that the game has changed, for him to be able to produce a lot more than he did in 2022 when he won the batting title. It doesn't make any sense to me, you know? Like, great players like Tony Gwynn, you know, they saw where the ball needed to go to be able to produce that hit, because there's always a gap somewhere and you have to be able to adjust to the pitching and be able to locate the ball and put it in that spot where you need to, you know, produce a hit. He's unable to do that now, so it makes no sense to me. But what do you think about what I just said, Craig? What do you think about McNeil and his problem?
I think Jeff McNeil, 2 years ago, if we had this conversation 2 years ago, we would have, it would have been a 100% totally different conversation. He was, like you said, one of the hitters that could put the ball anywhere where it needed to be. Potentially, we were in the talks of McNeil being one of the greatest hitters of the year of the Mets.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm not going to hold anything against him as far as everybody goes through their troubles. But I will say this. He went from yin to yang. You know what I'm saying? Like, he went from someone who was held at such a high caliber to now, I mean, he was recently put back, and then now he came back and he's trying to get back to where he was. And we don't know as fans if he's going to be back to where he was. He was an all-star. He doesn't even fit the all-star criteria this year. I think he's playing as good as the Mets are playing, you know, like trash. Let's be real. I think McNeil has a lot of issues. I think the Mets have a lot of issues. I think that whatever's going on, it needs to be fixed right away. You know, it's really crazy to see McNeil go from what he was 2 years ago to what he is now. So, it's tough. It's tough as a Mets fan, you know? But it's very hard to say if Jeff McNeil is ever going to be what he was 2 years ago, you know?
I agree. What do you think, Lash?
Yeah, now I was just thinking as Craig was talking, last year he was good. You know, this year he got a new hitting coach. Did he change his way he stands? Does he change his approach at the plate is different? Did he change that? Something got tweaked. And I don't know if it's the way he stands at the plate, the way he approaches the bat. Something changed. And I think, I don't know if it's on the coaching. It could be. He seemed to do well when Buck was there. I know he was only there 2 years. So I don't know what it is. It could just be that thing. He's just overthinking everything way too hard and just – he needs, you know, that saying, let the game come to you and let him do what he does best. And that's making good contact and driving the ball all over the place. You know, McNeil's not a home run hitter. He's more of a line drive, gap to gap, small ball player. And you need a guy like that because, you know, if you got a guy on, you know, first and second, you know, with one out, he comes up there, he just drives in a run. And he's always done that when he's succeeding. But I think also, let me tell you something, man. When your whole team is not doing well, it's very hard as a player to want to get up and give it your best. He knows the locker room better than you and I do. We're just a bunch of Joe Schmoes. So you can't say, it's hard for us to say, oh, they're not trying. To us, we seem like they're not trying because every day they're losing games and the record keeps slipping. But, you know, we're not in the locker room, so we don't know what's going on. But I don't know if it's that, but it's kind of disappointing because I really thought McNeil and was going to be a big contributor to them this season. I had a feeling Lindor would kind of, you know, Lindor always starts off slow and then gets hot as the summer gets hotter. But he's just been awful. But as far as McNeil goes, I don't know, man. I like McNeil. I like Nimmo. He reminds me of Nimmo in the sense that, you know, he's another, brings his lunch pail to the ballpark every day. He's going to give it his best. He's not going to, you know, take off in a bat or in the outfield or at second base, excuse me. So I don't know what the issue is.
No, you're right, though, Lasha. He does play. He's a true left fielder who plays second base for the Mets. All right? So, you know, he's a multi-talented player. But you have to understand that, you know, like, we're looking at the numbers, right? And I'm going to give you some numbers right now. So in 2022, right, when he won the title, he was batting .326, right? And then he declined in 2023 to .270. And this year, in 57 games, he's batting .227. All right, I know it's young in the season and, you know, things can change, but he's struggling, you know, and he's one of the players that I used to love. You know why? Because he wears his heart on his sleeve, right? So every time he comes up at bat and he fails and he doesn't get a hit, you can see the anger in his eyes and you can see his body language, right? You don't see that in a lot of baseball players, you know? So he's really hard on himself. So you know that he actually cares, all right? And you have to understand that when a player goes up to bat and, you know, he's working on his own personal resume, granted, he wants to help the team win, but every single player out there, no matter who you play for, you're playing for yourself, you know? Because you go up the bat and you want to produce. It doesn't matter if there's two outs out, you know, and there's a man on third, you're going to try to get that man across and you want the team to score. So everybody has their own personal issues to worry about because at the end of the year, at the end of the career, you know, they want to see their numbers flourish, you know. You don't want to say, all right, I was on a BS team and they played horribly, so I played horribly as well. No, this is how you get to, like, see stars shine, you know? There's always a player on a team that sucks that's going to shine, you know? And I'm not seeing it from him anymore. You know, you're seeing a serious decline in average, you know, and it bothers me. I know it bothers him, you know, because, you know, whatever. He, you know, he's a diehard Met fan, you know? He's a fan. Before anything, you know, because I know he loves wearing that uniform. You can tell, you know, he cares about producing. He shows it on a daily basis. When he fails, he's angry. He's upset because he's thinking about what he did wrong. And you can see it right away. You know, a lot of players, you know, they make a lot of money. They strike out. They walk off and they go back into the dugout and they're like, whatever, you know, I'll get them next time. But McNeil, on a daily basis, when he struggles and he has problems producing, you can see it right away. You know, he's one of those players that I love for that, you know, because he's showing the fans that he actually cares. But I think it's time to let McNeil go. You know, as hard as it would be to see him in a different uniform, I think it's time for him to you know, start fresh somewhere else.
I'll tell you something, though. I disagree. I think we should keep him. I think we should keep him because I feel like McNeil is going to turn it around. And I usually don't say that about a lot of Mets, but I do feel like McNeil is going to turn it around. I mean, ever since he came back, he's been doing better. And even the fans, we like him. My mother, who's watching the Mets from South Florida, who's 78 years old, if you ask her who's her favorite Met, she'll tell you Jeff McNeil.
Wow.
So I do believe if someone told me right now, trade him or keep him, I would say keep him because I think he's going to turn it around. I do believe he's going to turn around. I think he's going through something. as the whole team is going through something, but I think he's going to bounce back.
All right. I understand what you're saying, but, you know, when you go 4 for 28 in 8 games, there's a struggle going on. There's something wrong, you know? Like, great players, no matter what your team is going through, you're going to produce. You're going to produce because, you know, like I said, you're building on your own resume, you know, especially in situations like this, you know. Like, I'll give you a perfect example. All right. A couple of years ago, we had Tommy Pham on the team, right? And Tommy Pham is an older, you know, gentleman, and he's been a veteran of the MLB for a while. And he came to the Mets, and he wasn't there for long, but he was a hitting machine. And no matter what the team was going through, even though the team was failing, he was able to produce hits, and he gave you his all, 100% every single at bat. All right. And, you know, we ended up trading him, you know, because we were sellers at this point, right? And he ended up going to what? Arizona? Was it Arizona, guys? Where did he end up going? I think he went to Arizona.
Tommy Pham. Well, he went to Arizona in a trade. Yeah, and this year he's with the White Sox.
Yeah, this year he's with the White Sox. But he went to Arizona in the postseason, and he was able to contribute in that postseason, you know? And when he walked away, he stated a lot of interesting things, you know, to the media. He said the Mets didn't have a good system. And he stated that, you know, they were mediocre when it came to training and preparing for games. And when you have a player like that who's hungry to compete and, you know, you actually saw him produce, you know, for a team that wasn't doing so well, you have to wonder and sit back and say, you know, is he right? What are the Mets doing wrong? How are they preparing for a game? And why are they not successful? When you look at them on paper, you say, wow, they have a pretty good staff. They have a pretty good rotation. They have a pretty good lineup. Why are they not winning games? Why is it that the Mets are having these type of problems, you know? And when a player that type of caliber says it, you have to, you know, look back and say, okay.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
So, you know, he was in the system. And he saw something that he didn't like. It makes you wonder. It makes you wonder. But, you know, you see a lot of players, a lot of these players on the Mets, you know, that we've seen, like, you know, leave the team and were able to, like, transition and become even better on a different ball club. You have to wonder why that's happening, okay? Travis d'Arnaud was a perfect example. All right, Travis d'Arnaud in his last week as a Met in that uniform, when I was watching these games, I said to myself, this guy is never, ever going to play baseball again. Then he transitioned and he went to Atlanta and he became a hitting machine. He became something to look at. And he was able to produce for that ball club, but he was unable to do that in New York. Was it New York or was it the ball club? You know, a lot of people say it's hard to play in New York, but you know what? When you play in Queens, nobody's really watching the way they watch Yankee baseball. So what was the problem? You know, look at Seth Lugo. You know, he was a starter for the Mets. Another perfect example. And they were like, all right, you know what? You can't really, you know, you're not really a starter for us. Let's put you in the bullpen. Granted, you know, he excelled in the bullpen, you know, situation, and he was pretty decent for us, but look at him now. He's a true starter for the Kansas City Royals, and he's a number one over there, and Kansas City's doing really well. Looks like, you know, they're ready to, you know, ramp it up and, you know, have a long postseason. How is that even possible? Why is that happening? Why is it that these guys can't excel in New York and can excel in, you know, other states and teams. I don't understand it. It bothers me, you know. All of these players here, you know, they were great at one point, and then they fall apart. We trade them, get rid of them. We don't give them contracts that, you know, they think they deserve, and they move on to a different team, and then all of a sudden they become superstars. Why is that? I don't know. You tell me, Craig.
Well, I think the Mets historically have very bad luck when it comes to players coming to the Mets and doing good. I can name a few players off the top of my head that have been total, like, duds. You know, high expectations. And then they come here, and then it's just a nightmare.
Jason Bay.
Yeah, Jason Bay is one of them. I can even go, there's a few of them that just came over here and it just didn't work out. I can't tell you why that happens because I'm not a player and I'm not part of the franchise, but I will say that the Mets have always had troubles and struggles with players coming and doing good. And it's hard. It's troubling for the fans. It's heartbreaking because every once in a while the Mets sign somebody who's supposed to be the answer, and it winds up being a total wash. So, yeah, that's a very good question and a very good point you bring up. These players come over to the Mets, and either the players just don't like being here, or they come here and they just don't produce. So, yeah, it's a very good question.
You know, I understand that you can't buy championships, and I understand that when you spend a lot of money on a player that was doing well on another team and they come over to this side, they can't produce, they can't adjust, they can't figure it out. You know, like, I was super excited to see Lindor come over, you know, and you can't blame management. You can't blame Stearns. I think he put together a really good ball club this year, you know, even knowing that, you know, we weren't going to really, you know, run too far. But I saw signs of it happening, and I'm like, wow, this team is really good. You know, everybody said the pitching was awful, that we didn't have a true rotation. Our bullpen wasn't, you know, up to par, but they were completely wrong. And, you know, everybody was saying, wow, the lineup looks really great and the pitching looks suspect, but it's been the complete opposite, you know? And then, you know, the injuries and Diaz, you know, imploding and unable to figure it out after getting injured and being off for a year. A lot of things happened, you know, and it bothers me. Because I thought we had a really good ball club. You know, we started off really slow. Like, 0-5 is pretty horrible, you know. I mean, we understood that, you know, it was a development year. And, you know, we were trying to get these young guys to, you know, get comfortable on the field. But I don't know. I can't explain it. What do you think, Lash?
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going back to this again. But it could just be the fact that, you know, they finally built a good rapport with Buck Showalter. Lindor loved Buck Showalter. The players loved playing for him.
Mm-hmm.
And then now you got this neophyte manager who, he was like the third base coach or the bench coach for the Yankees. But it's like they probably don't have much respect for him as they do as for Buck Showalter. So they're more likely just tuning him out because they just know he's really not here to manage. He's just here follow the numbers that the guys from Harvard tell him to do and yada bing, yada boom.
100% right.
I'm not saying that Carlos Mendoza doesn't care about the players because I think he does. You know, nowadays they want players who are going to – they want managers that are going to, you know, coddle the players' feelings, you know, rub their back and their belly, you know. And sometimes I don't think that's good. You need a Buck Showalter in the world who's just going to tell, like, hey, listen, you stink, get it together. He doesn't care about your feelings. He cares about results. And I don't know if Mendoza's like that, but who knows? That could be the case. It could just be, you know, there's a lot of pressure in New York. I think the big mistake was what's killing the Mets, I said this earlier, is Steve Cohen should have never said, this year we're here to contend. When reality, you're here to rebuild. If he had said, listen, we're not going to make the playoffs. We're trying to rebuild, trying to get better for the next 2 years. I think this losing would be more acceptable and easier to handle.
To digest.
But because he said, we're here, we're competing, everyone's like, whoa, if he's saying we're here to compete and the roster looks like a team that doesn't look like a team that's been rebuilt, looks like a very competitive team, then you as a Mets fan have a right to be like, all right, we should be competing. We have a good team. We finally have a good catcher. We have a good shortstop. We have a good second baseman. We have a good outfielder. You know, third base is a little shady. First base is a little shady. But other than that, you have a good, decent core of players that you should be able to, on paper or just in the game, you should be able to win, but they're just not doing it. It's very frustrating, so who knows what's going on. But if I'm the Mets, I would sell all the best players I can now rather than the trade deadline, because the longer you wait, if they keep getting worse and worse,
nobody's going to want them.
They'll take Pete Alonso, but you're not getting a top-tier prospect, I'll tell you that. 100%. A team like that needs just a DH or a first baseman. Hey, sure, come on. Remember, Pete Alonso is going to be a rental for whoever gets him, so they get him for nothing. Exactly. So if I'm the Mets, sell him now and start talking. Say, what do you think I could get for Alonso? He's the number one guy I would trade because, like I said, he's a free agent. You could always resign him back in the post in the offseason.
Yeah, so, I totally agree.
I don't know. It's already, you know the saying, you know, it's getting late early. It's already June, you know, the first week of June, and, you know, the trade deadline is probably like almost a month away now. So do you think between now and the trade deadline, Alonso can go on a tear and just start mashing home runs and playing great defense? I don't know about that. I don't see that happening, but I could be wrong. I know it takes longer for the weather to get warmer in New York. The warmer the weather gets, the ball travels better. Pete Alonso is the home run hitter. But who knows? But from the outside looking in, it's disappointing because the players on paper don't look like a team that is a bunch of nobodies. They're actual stars that even if they were on another team, they'd be a starter. You know, it's not like a couple years ago where Baltimore had a bunch of nobodies that you didn't know about. Or, the Chicago Cubs when they were rebuilding, they had a bunch of nobodies. Or, you know, teams that had to rebuild, you know. Who knows? It'll be interesting. But if I'm the Mets, start selling now. Sell now then rather than later. Season's already a wash. Why are you holding on to these guys? Who cares?
Agree.
Get some prospects.
I agree. Listen, if you really want Alonso, for whatever reason it is, I'm a diehard. I think that it's time for him to, start fresh somewhere else. I think we should get rid of McNeil. Severino's having a decent season. I think we should get rid of him because I think he can help somebody else out there that really needs a starter. I think we should get rid of J.D. Martinez because you know what? J.D. Martinez can make a difference in your lineup. I think if anybody wants Starling Marte, even though he has a couple of months left on his contract with the Mets, and they...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I think that he can contribute to another ball club out there, even if you get a BS prospect for it. You never know, that BS prospect could turn into something that can change the ball club around, you know? But I think it's time to bring up all the, all the youth. I think that Vientos, I think that DJ Stewart should be playing every day so they can develop. I think Beatty should be playing every day so they can develop. So they have to figure out a way to, implement these players into the lineup on a daily basis so this way they can prepare for 2025 and figure out who needs to stay and who needs to go. All right, I think that starting Marte on a daily basis is a waste of time. I think that DJ Stewart should totally be playing right field on a daily basis if you want him to develop into the player you want. He's showing signs of, you know, being an all-star. He hits the ball really hard. And, you know, you can see the hunger. All right. And McNeil hasn't been hitting for us, right? So basically he's an automatic out. I totally believe that this guy, this 34-year-old rookie who's been in the minor league system for such a long time and had, you know, little cameos in the major leagues, you know, he played for Colorado for a little while and then he was sent back down and he never really saw the major leagues after that. I believe that Julio Iglesias is the type of player that can, you know, rattle the lineup up and, you know, change the dynamic of a team.
Well, he already did. I mean, look at it. He ever since he's been playing second base, the team has been winning more. And Jeff McNeil, he lit a fire under Jeff McNeil's ass because now Jeff McNeil, you know, is competing.
Yes, how it works.
Yeah, and I think, and also you mentioned DJ Stewart. He should be playing right field. I mean, he made an awesome play today, which you guys will talk about, I guess, more on the next one. But he made an awesome play today. And as far as you guys talking about who to get rid of, I think you're right, Pablo. Get rid of Alonso at this point. I don't think anybody's really – he's not really doing what everybody wants him to do. Although they were trying to amp him up by saying that he's leading the Mets in doubles and he just passed Lindor. But that's just them trying to amp him up, you know, make him look good. But I think that nobody's really scared of him. He's not really a scary bat, which the Mets need. Get rid of Starling Marte. You need to get rid of a lot of these guys because this is clearly not working out. And I do believe that the Mets, it's like momentum, you know, like they're all not doing well because they're all not doing well. And that's, they're all vibing off each other. And I mean, we talked about this a lot. I know I keep bringing this up, but they should have never got rid of Buck Showalter. That was the first mistake. And then it, like, the dominoes started to fall, in my opinion. But I think that they need to get rid of, they need to, like, clean house. Keep the youth, keep the kids, and get rid of everybody, pretty much. And I think that this year is probably one of the most disappointing years that I can remember. I mean, we've had a lot of disappointing years as Mets fans, but for some reason, this year sticks out. And I mean, why do you think that this year seems to be heartbreaking compared to the other years, you know? So, I don't know. It's just, it's heartbreaking, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, you can see a lot of the frustration in the clubhouse at this point, you know? Look what happened with Jorge Lopez, you know? Implosion. He, you know, felt like Freeman, you know, swung. The catcher goes to the third baseman. The third base umpire states that he didn't swing and he didn't cross the plate. And he gets into a heated argument with the umpire. He gets so frustrated that he throws his glove over the net and it lands in the stands. And when he was interviewed, he said that this was the worst team he's ever played for. All right. There's a lot of frustration in the clubhouse. There's reasons for it. You know, we're looking in, you know, and we see the frustration in these players' eyes. We see the body language. We see what's going on. But there's something going on internally that we can't, you know, hear or see. There's something going on in that clubhouse. There's something wrong. Is it the management? Is it the trainers? Is it, I don't know what it is, but there's something going on. And I think it's time to, like, start from scratch. And if you're going to start from scratch, then you need to get rid of everybody, the coaches, the whole nine yards, you know. Can't blame Mendoza. I understand that Mendoza's not a true manager in the sense of, you know, old school baseball, or, you know, he's just there to, you know, play his position. I think that all the decisions are coming from upstairs, you know. I think David Stearns is running the team. I think David Stearns is the manager at this point, you know. I think he did really well. I think he's a young guy that knows what he's doing. You know, he wanted Craig Council in there. And I totally believe that if Council was in there and he was managing the team, things wouldn't be happening the way they are now, because I think that Stearns would have actually let him manage the team in his way. You know, I think Mendoza's just there to, you know, hold the fort down. And he's not really allowed to make decisions. But what I do like is that, you know, my dad always said, no matter how much a player makes, it doesn't matter. He doesn't have to start the game if he's not producing. You know, there's players on the bench, there's players in the minor leagues that are, you know, building up and ramping up to come to the major leagues. And you should always play the hot hand. This is how you win games, you know, because you know how it is. Lindor is never going to get, you know, time on the bench because he's making so much money. So no matter how bad he does, he's going to be a starter on a daily basis. Now, if Lindor's not hitting, if Lindor goes 0-28 and you have a young guy in the minors that's raking and hitting 328 in AAA, that's the guy that should be playing. But since Lindor is making so much money, you have no choice but to play him. Back in the day, if you weren't producing, it didn't matter how much money you were making. You were going to sit on the bench. Or maybe you needed some time in the minors to, like, figure it out. But that's not the case these days, you know, because it depends on how much money you're making and whether or not, you know, you're going to play. Because that's how it works. That's how it works in baseball now. You're making $330 million. Guess what? You have to play every day because we paid for you to play every day. But if you're not the hot hand, you shouldn't be playing. You have to juggle the lineup. You have to figure out what's going on. So Lindor's been hitting, you know, first in the lineup for the last couple of days or whatever it is. And he's been producing a lot better than he was in the two-hole, three-hole, whatever he was hitting prior to that. You have to figure out how your lineup works, and you have to figure out, you know, how to, you know, put it together for you to win. But, you know, we don't have anybody to replace Alonso at first. You know, yeah, J.D. Martinez is, I believe, can play first as well. But you have to play the hot hand, and you can't let these players that are doing well sit on the bench. This is what I'm saying. Get rid of McNeil and replace him with Iglesias on a daily basis. Get rid of Marte. Let's play DJ Stewart on a daily basis. If Vientos is hitting the ball better than Beatty, all right, let's send Beatty downstairs and let's redevelop him and figure out what's wrong with him and play Vientos on third every single day.
And you want to hear something? I don't mean to cut you off.
No, you're not cutting me off.
But I was talking to someone the other day, and they said they're a Mets fan, and they told me, they said, Craig, you know what this feels like? And I said, what? They said, remember when Mickey Callaway was our manager and we won 77 games? And I said, yeah. They said, this is how I felt the same way that year as I feel this year. And that's pretty, that says a lot, you know? They're comparing this year to, I believe it was 2018, when Mickey Callaway, that guy, was our manager, and we only won 77 games. And I said, you know what, I said to you, Pablo, I think at the beginning, or maybe not at the beginning of the year, but once we started to decline, I said, I think we're as good as maybe a 500 ball club. Yeah. And I think that's kind of the feeling that us Mets fans have. This is kind of like
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on money line, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
Same feeling as, you know, when Mickey Callaway was our manager. It's sad, you know. It's very sad.
It's really sad, man. But you know what? We already know that we have a losing season. I can't wait for, you know, Mauricio to come back up. You know, he's hurt this year. Hopefully, you know, he can, you know, make a cameo this year, because he was an exciting player to watch last year, and I was really excited to see him play this year. And, you know, we have Luis, you know, Angel Acuna, and, you know, it's time to make some changes. It's time to get really young and kind of figure it out the same way Lasha's team figured it out. Look how long it took Lasha's team to figure it out, and look how well they're doing now, you know? A bunch of nobodies turned into household names. Am I correct, Lasha? Yes or no?
Yeah, Baltimore, but just a bunch of nobodies, and they drafted really well, so that's why it's important to have a good GM. I think the Mets have the right GM. Coach, I'm not sure about, but you got to give the GM at least one more year. I'd give him a 3-year window to get his act together, but I would have just completely... If I'm the Mets, I'd start rebuilding in the second half. Bring up these guys that they think can play now. Play the guys out. Let them get their wrinkles out. Get the kinks out. And then now you know when you go next year, when you go into free agency, you know, okay, I don't need to get this player because I have this player. I have a younger player to play this position, so I don't have to go get an older player and give that older player a lot of money. You know what I mean? Like if you find a stud outfielder in your farm system, he's doing well. You know, maybe I don't need Juan Soto. Yeah, he's great. He's a star. But I'm going to have this other guy for a longer control. Yeah, I have a long control with Soto too. But, you know, by 10 years from now, or 7 years, out of that, if you give Soto a 10-year contract, out of that 10 years, how many good years are you getting at production are you going to get out of him? I don't know. Who knows? So by playing the young guys, you might be able to decipher who you keep and who you start up for next year. But yeah, that's what I would do. But going back to the Jorge Lopez thing, you know, you ever heard that expression? The only time someone is honest is when they're under the influence, when they're angry. Well, Jorge Lopez was definitely angry. And as an Orioles fan, I loved Jorge Lopez. He made a name for himself in Baltimore. He did great. Ever since he's left Baltimore, he's been trash. But when he said he this is the worst team we played on, and then he tried to walk him back and say, no, I meant to say I was the best player. No, you said what you said. You said what you meant. That's mm-hmm. how he feels about the team. And the Mets have to get rid of that. You can't have someone like that who doesn't want to be part of your organization. Of course so not. I give the Mets a lot of credit for getting rid of him and saying, forget you. We don't need you. That was the right thing to do. But it also speaks volumes. For him to say that, is he have a specific player he's talking about in mind? Or does he really think the whole team sucks? Or what is it that he doesn't like? Is he saying the way the organization is run sucks? Is it the way, you know, analytics is run? Is it the way coaching makes him do things? The pitching? Who knows? But it speaks volumes when your own pitcher, who's no longer on your team, says this is the worst team he's played for. So that's how he really feels. I know it's tough to say, but.
Well, then they tried to do I think him or his agent tried to do damage control and say, like, you know, he's got a lot of things in his personal life and yada yada yada. But Lasha, you're completely correct. He was angry. He said what he said. It was honest. And obviously, you know, you can't have someone say that and then, you know, it doesn't. You know, he can't be a part of the organization if he's going to not be all in, especially if he's talking smack. So, no, I don't know. There's a lot of problems, man. A lot of problems this year with the Mets.
No, totally. But I totally understand him. Listen, right now, you know, I think our biggest trade piece isn't Alonzo, but teams are interested. I think he can flourish in other, you know, in a different uniform. You know, there's rumors out there that Chicago Cubs are interested in him. I think that, you know, we should definitely talk to them about him. You know,
Yankees. They are
the Yankees and the Milwaukee Brewers, all right? Those are the three teams that are totally interested in him. I think he can make a difference for that, for those, any one of those ball clubs, you know? And it's time to move on, you know? Like, I understand the fans love him, but he's not doing what, you know, we need to win a championship. So we need to get rid of him. And, you know, a couple of weeks ago, there was a rumor out there that, you know, he was offered $158 million, right? And he declined, all right? You have to understand that, you know, Scott Boras is his agent, and Scott Boras is going to try to, you know, get him the most money, and understand that a lot of that money is going to go into, you know, Mr. Boras's pockets as well. So, obviously, he's going to try to get the most money for his, you know, client. But at this point, we have to forget about that and say, you know what, we're under control and we need to get rid of this guy because I don't think he's worth the money. I don't think he's a great defensive player. I think he's, you know, he's strikeout prone, and we need to talk to these teams, you know, and figure out how to get something in return. But, you know, there's a lot of frustration in the ball club and we just can't figure it out. We just can't figure it out. All right. And we're going to, you know, move on, and we're going to talk about how this player for the Padres, Topeka Marcano, right, was violating baseball's gambling policy, and he's no longer able to play baseball, according to, you know, the paper. And, you know, this guy's 24 years old, and he was accused of betting on games involving the Pirates, right, his former team, prior to joining the Padres. And he was on the injured list with the Pirates last season, but he was betting on the games. And, you know, you have to understand, this 24-year-old guy, you know, how much money is he really making? So he figured, you know, let me, you know, bet on these games and, you know, try to fill my pockets. And now he's unable to play baseball for the rest of his life, you know, a la Pete Rose. Right.
Yeah, Pete Rose. And then there's the guy recently in the NBA. His name is Porter on the Toronto Raptors. He just got caught for betting on his own team. And unfortunately, when you allow sports betting to be legal everywhere, this is what's going to happen. Players are going to get tempted. And you know why you have to suspend these or give them definitely? Because they have a better insight on. For example, if he's betting on himself on how he's going to do or how the club is, no, he knows what's going on with the Pirates at the time. Like, he knows who's doing well, who's hitting, who's hurt, who's not going to perform.
Exactly.
So that's a advantage for him, you know, and it's not fair. So I think it's pretty stupid. He works so hard. Baseball is the hardest sport to make it to the majors. Any sport is hard to make it to majors. You know, you have like a really small chance to make it to the majors in any sport, but baseball alone. You could spend like 10 plus years in the minor leagues before you even get a sniff in the majors. And you work so hard just to blow it away because you made a, you know, bet on whether your team was going to win or not. It's the stupidest thing in the world. So I don't feel sorry for him. He got what he deserved. And
I agree.
If he was a superstar for the Padres, you damn best bet, well, they would have swept it under the rug and let him keep playing like they did with Otani.
Yeah, but I don't understand something. I mean, like, I'm going to play devil's advocate here and say, you know, Pete Rose, all right, he should be in the Hall of Fame. I don't care what anybody says. Charlie Hustle, man, there's nobody like Pete Rose. He lived for baseball. Did he bet on baseball? Yes. Did he bet on his own team to lose? Was he throwing games? I don't think so. I mean, I don't know the exact details of that situation, but I don't think he should be banned from baseball or the Cooperstown. You know, I think Pete Rose deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. I don't think there will ever be another Pete Rose. I mean, not in our lifetime anyway. This Padres player, should he be banned? I mean, he's stupid. I mean, could he have gotten someone else to make his bets? I don't know. Could he have done it smarter? Yes. Should he be I don't know. I mean, should he be banned from baseball? Like I said, I don't know the exact details, but I don't know. I don't think being banned from baseball is the answer. Unless he was betting on his own team to lose, okay. Then I could see it.
Exactly. You know? So I'll give you a hypothetical, right? Let's say, right, Pete Rose, he's up to bat. Bases are loaded. His team is down 2 runs. Pete Rose is a pivotal type player, right? So I'm going to compare him to like a Juan Soto, right? So you're pitching against Pete Rose, right, in the bottom of the ninth, home field advantage. Pete Rose is up to bat, and he bets on his team to lose, right?
Yeah, but I don't think Pete Rose betted on his team to lose. That's the thing.
I know, but it's a hypothetical.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
You know, so you think Pete Rose wants to win this bet. Will he swing at garbage and strike out so his team loses so he can put some money in his pocket? Or is he going to swing for the fences and be true Pete Rose because he knows he can win this game?
Well, like I said, if he was betting on his team to lose, then yes, he deserves to be banned from baseball. I don't think that was the case, though.
But this is exactly why there should be no betting. Especially if you have an inside edge, exactly like Lasha said.
Not even that, but why the hell don't you, like, he's stupid, this guy. Like, if he wants to bet on baseball, have someone else bet for him. I mean, that's besides the point, obviously, but.
Yeah, but it's the same story with Ohtani. We don't really know what happened, you know? Ohtani's baseball sweetheart, right? So, you know, the two-way player. The Babe Ruth of baseball in this era, right? So you want to say, we don't really know if Ohtani was telling him, I want you to bet on this, bet on that. I'm not going to do it myself, but I'm going to have you do it. And at the end of the day, Epi probably got paid on the side, you know? And Ohtani said, you take the blame, and I'm going to make sure you're okay at the end of the day. You know,
but yeah, that's
nobody really knows the true story.
Yeah, exactly. And if anything, Ohtani got off scot free.
Of course, he's baseball.
But really quick question: yes or no? Pete Rose in Cooperstown? Yes or no?
I mean, he has the numbers, and he was a great player. I understand all that, but that's the same way. Like, you know, all right. So, do you think McGuire, Sosa, or you know? Any one of those players deserves to be, you know, or Alex Rodriguez deserves to be in Cooperstown. I say no. I understand it's really hard to
hit. No, but steroids is different because you're not playing. When you take steroids, you're not at an even playing field. So it's like, okay, you know, so in that case, I believe you are cheating. It's like in boxing. If someone takes performance-enhancing drugs, they're not at the same level playing field as their opponent, so they're cheating, you know. But
betting does the same thing, though. If you think about it, if you're able to change the game, you know, when you're at bat or you know fumble a play, you know, because you know that it's gonna change the way the game progresses. It's the same thing.
I get what you're saying, and I agree. But that's what I was saying. If it was proven, which it's hard to do, obviously, and we're just talking, but if it was proven that, like, you were betting on your team to lose, that's one thing. Yeah, you deserve to get anything that you deserve, but we don't know, like, exactly what they were betting on. We don't know do we know what Pete Rose was betting on? I mean, do we know what these guys were betting on, or we just assume that they were?
At the end of the day, whatever the you know reporters were able to you know,
yeah,
you know, find out or think they knew what was going on. At the end of the day, nobody really knows what's going on except for that guy. You know,
yeah,
that's how I see it. You know,
it's actually very sad though when you talk about Pete Rose. I know I keep bringing up Pete Rose, but it's like it's sad because he was one in a man. He was amazing. You know.
Same way McGuire was amazing when he was hitting all those home runs. The same way Sosa was competing.
Yeah, but those guys were taking some crazy substances to, like, you know, like Barry Bonds. I mean, that dude was juiced, like cracking them out the park. And if you ever, you know, have you ever looked at Mark McGwire, like when he first started? I mean, I know people work out and they, you know, they're athletes and they, you know, but like, you know, you could tell the difference.
Of course, you could tell the difference in all of them. But then you had a guy like Ken Griffey Jr. competing in that same race. And, you know, he was never called out for any performance enhancing drugs, right? And he was competing in that race just fine, right?
Yeah.
So you have to wonder.
I mean, look at Andy Pettit. He'll, just because he was associated with Roger Clemens, I mean, he was kind of like, you know, guilty by association.
Yeah, that works for me. That works for me.
Yeah.
You know, I work hard for a living and, you know, I consider myself a really good, you know, I consider myself really good at my job, right? And if I associate myself with people that, you know, are doing negative things in society, then obviously when people look in and they say, oh, yeah, he hangs out with that guy, they're gonna state, you know, negative, you know, things about me, right? So we don't want that, right? But that's how it works. You know, a lot of Yankee players in the history of the Yankees, especially when they were winning all those championships, were, you know, tainted. And the Yankees have been, you know, called out on cheating as well. You know, they frowned upon Houston and they frowned upon Boston. But, you know, there are articles out there that you can find easily by Googling that the Yankees were cheating as well. You know, and they had a lot of players on their ball clubs over the years where, you know, they were on steroids. You had Giambi, you had Alex Rodriguez, you had Gary Sheffield, you had Andy Pettit, and the list goes on, right? Alex Rodriguez, all right? And these were really competitive ball clubs at these times, right? So, and the Yankees have the most championships, right? And maybe Cano as well, right? They knew something about Cano, maybe. I don't know. I'm not 100% sure about that, but Cano was really a hot hand, and they decided not to re-sign him, right? So, I don't know. I don't know. You know, the truth is out there, but I'm not going to go fishing. What do you think, Lash, about what we've just been saying? About performance-enhancing drugs, about betting on your own team, or, you know, having that advantage. What do you think, Lash?
No, if there's a rule that you can't break and you break it, I don't care if you did it intentional or non-intentional. These are the rules. Just like, you know, your job and our job, I have certain rules. You know what I mean? I can't go in my job. I can't just walk into the trauma room and just, you know, put an airway into a patient. You can't do that. Just, you get in trouble. There's things you just can't do. You have rules and regulations, because if you don't control it, then the games would always be, you would never know if the games are true games or if the outcome was actually what they were supposed to be, or if it's rigged, you know. And if that's the case, no one's going to watch a game knowing that these guys aren't really playing the best because they're either mailing it in or they're trying extra hard because, you know, one of their players made a bet that, you know, freaking Pete Alonso is going to have 7 home runs in a game. And then they tell the guy, hey, give up fastball so this guy can hit, you know. And if everyone knows that, it's just like, hey, if you do that, you know, we'll give you money if you give, you know what I mean, or from a share of winning the betting on a sports bet. It's stupid. And these players are so dumb, that these guys that get caught, because nowadays the way they get caught, they didn't caught by doing it on an app. They got caught because they went to a bookie, you know, and the bookies know, like, who's who's and who's what. So, and the NBA and the MLB, they have a rule, like, hey, if any of your players are betting and you make bets with them, and let me tell you something, you think the bookie's going to say, hey, I can't do that, it's illegal? They're not going to, yeah, come here, give me your money, you dumb idiot. Sure, I'll take your money. Let's make a bet. Oh, by the way, when you're done, I'm going to write you out and report you, because they don't care. You know what I mean? But, yeah, it's illegal. It shouldn't be allowed, because you can change the outcome of the game. And if you don't have those rules, you know, you don't set boundaries, then people are going to walk all over it and take advantage of it, and you don't want that. So, I'm like I said, that guy deserved to get deserved to be tossed or kicked out of the league. As far as Pete Rose goes, Pete Rose as the player, he should be in the Hall of Fame. But he should go in as just the player. But he did that gambling when he was the manager. So that's why. But if, as Pete Rose the player, Hall of Fame, absolutely, for sure. If you want to put him in that category, sure. I think time has passed now where you kind of like forget about and just move on. I would put him in there. You know what I mean? Like I said, it's not as bad as steroids. Steroids is worse because steroids is all about your own individual numbers and you know, trying to better yourself, and you now become selfish. It's not about the team. It's more about yourself. Whereas gambling is about the team, but you know, you can't control how the player plays. You know what I mean? You can just say, hey, I need you to strike out four times. Well, if a player is like, well, if I do that and I'm trying to get a contract, why the heck am I going to play poorly just so you make money? That's stupid. You know what I mean?
Exactly. I agree with that. Like I said, no matter what happens at the end of the day, you have your own personal resume to worry about. That's how it works. If you want to make big money, your resume definitely counts. Because they're going to look at your stats. They're going to say, do we need this player? Is this player, you know, high caliber? How much money does he really deserve to be an our ball club? You know, that's how it works. But we're going to move on, and we're going to talk about the Milwaukee Brewers right now, because they're a really interesting story. And we're going to talk about how they lost their manager to the Chicago Cubs, Craig Counsell. You know, Mr. Stearns, who was now the GM of the Mets, he wanted Craig Counsell to come over to the Mets and manage, but Mr. Counsell decided that he wanted to go to Chicago to stay close to his family, and the Brewers lost their manager and they lost their GM as well. And for some reason, these guys were able to still figure it out, make the right decisions. They lost their, you know, number one in the rotation as well to the Baltimore Orioles, Corbin Burns, and they're still relevant, and they were able to replace their stars, and they were able to reload. In a small market team like the Brewers, you know, it's really surprising that they were able to do that, you know, and they're showing, you know, signs of, you know, postseason action, right? They have an offense that ranks second in the National League in home runs per game, and they're only behind the Dodgers, who is a star-studded cast, right? Which is pretty impressive, right? I think that, you know, I like to see these little ball clubs, you know, do things like that, you know? Like, you know, you have, like, teams like Baltimore, you know, you have teams like Milwaukee, you have teams like KC, you know, they're showing signs of, you know, we want to be in the postseason, you know, and I like to see stuff like that. I like to see these teams, you know, be able to prevail after, you know, going through so much turmoil, you know. What do you think, Lash? I know you love the the underdog, and this is why I always say to you that Baltimore is going to definitely prevail in that division, and they're going to knock down the monster, because I think the Yankees, you know, they want to get all these stars together. They want to put them together. They want to prevail in the wrong way. I think that teams that build from within and, you know, try to figure out, you know, how to, you know, compete without having to spend so much is the way to do it. What do you think, Lash?
Yeah, I was very impressed because I thought the Milwaukee Brewers would be rebuilding. Like you said, they lost the manager. They lost their
GM,
and they lost the pitcher, you know. So, and it looks like that trade that they made with Baltimore has worked out for both sides. Ortiz is doing well. I forgot the name of the pitcher they got from Baltimore, but I don't know how he's doing. But the second baseman Ortiz, he's been good. But yeah, it's pretty impressive. So it just tells you it's you know, you gotta give hats off to the general manager. He knew what he was doing, and he got a decent haul back. And like I said, we can say it caps off now because it's working. But if it wasn't working, we'd say, oh my goodness, what were they thinking? But it's working. So you know, they still have Yelich, and they have Contreras, and you know,
they have
these
other Hoskins.
Guys. Hoskins, who's been a great addition,
yeah, definitely,
on a 1-year deal. So, yeah,
he actually signed a 2-year deal.
Oh, 2 years, my bad.
Yeah, It's all good. It's, you know, but he's a great addition. You know what I'm saying? I'm surprised that, you know, Philly let go, right? And then they have Gary Sanchez, an ex-Yankee, which is interesting. You know, he's doing well over there. You know, they put together a really good cast, and they're going in the right direction. You know, we like to, you know, point out, you know, when teams that weren't expected to do well, you know, prevail. And we like to see action like that. We like the changes in the league. You know, there's always those teams that want to spend all the money and put these superstar teams together. You know, I don't really care for those teams. You know, I like the homegrown. I like the teams that, you know, build and try to figure it out. Yeah, granted, you need, you know, veterans in there to help push, but when you build a team like this and you say, all right, yeah, you know, we lost these pieces, how can we figure it out, and how can we implement, you know, a lineup and a rotation that is able to compete, you know? I like to see things like that. I like to see things like that. So it's really important to keep these teams, you know, relevant, you know? Because like we said, you know, we've said it in the past. We say that, you know, when a team, you know, we know from the start of the season, this team is not going to make it. This team is going to lose 100 games. So what's the point of even playing this year? You know, we want to see all teams be able to compete. We want to see, you know, an interesting season. But when we know and when we can pick right off the bat, before the season even starts, who's going to make the postseason, that kind of bothers me. What do you think, Lash?
Yeah, baseball season, you don't want to be, it's automatically predictable. Before I continue on, Craig, I know you're about to leave. I just want to say thanks for coming on.
Yes, guys, I really appreciate it, man. You guys are awesome. I really appreciate you having me on the show. In closing, I will say that the Mets need to get it together. But this is going to be a topic of discussion, I'm sure, for weeks to come. I do appreciate you guys. I love you guys always. I know you guys for a very long time. I wish you all the luck with this. This is an amazing podcast. Much love, much respect. So thank you again, guys. I appreciate it.
No, thank you for being on the show.
Yes.
Yeah, thanks, man. It was fun, man. I see why we
it's fun. Anytime, man. Anytime you guys need anything, I'm always here for you guys. So
thank you.
Yes.
Appreciate it.
And we'll talk soon.
Definitely.
All right, man. Take care. We'll see you soon. Thanks.
All right. Cool.
So, yeah, you know, that was really fun. You know, Craig is a true, true diehard Mets fan. And I know it's really hard for him on a, you know, year-to-year basis. Like, he struggles, you know. He really bleeds orange and blue. But this week, you know, we want to talk about, you know, who really excelled on the mound. And our pitcher of the week is going to be Mr. Ben Brown, who went 7 innings for the Chicago Cubs, right, with no hits, no earned runs, 2 walks, and 10 Ks, right? Ended up beating the Brewers, who we just finished talking about, 6-3 in extra innings. That's pretty impressive, you know. Like I said, you know, Chicago Cubs as well, you know, they're up and coming. They're trying to figure it out. Is Pete Alonso the fit that they need to like excel and make the postseason? We're gonna find out. We're going to find out if the Mets are sellers. We're going to find out if the Chicago Cubs are, you know, willing to accept that type of, you know, player on their side. But we also like to, you know, give a shout out to Cleveland's Josh Naylor the other day. He hit 2 home runs in 1 game. He walked and he had 5 RBIs, beating the Colorado Rockies 13-7. Pretty impressive. Salutes to Josh Naylor. Pretty impressive. And let's talk about the Baltimore Orioles in the last 3 series. How did they do, Lash?
Yeah, so Baltimore, they opened this past week with against 4-game series against Toronto, in a four-game series against Tampa Bay, but the Toronto series stuck out the most because in the first two games, they scored a combined of 17 runs total, and then the last two games, they only scored 7 runs. So it's like the offense just went to a complete dry spell. But in the last game against Toronto, they had to call up a starting pitcher from the minor leagues, from the AAA. His name is Pavich, and he had a good first three innings, and after that, the wheels fell off, and they just lost, and Toronto just beat us up. And, you know, you can't win all the series. You're not going to win every single game, but, you know, it's a division rival. So, you know, I was expecting Toronto to play well, and they played well in the last two games. It just, the pitching fell apart, and the thing is, the offense just couldn't score runs. You know, Baltimore goes as when they hit home runs, they win. When they don't hit home runs, it's just they're not a small hitting team, which is frustrating. You know, but hey, it works because it gets you to the playoffs. But it's not going to work when you get to the playoffs because in the major league, in the playoffs, you know, pitchers aren't giving up home runs that easy as they are now. So as they do in the regular season. But and then Tampa Bay, they went to Tampa Bay, and they got one more game left tomorrow. But they've won 3 out of the 4 so far, and they just Tampa Bay is kind of rebuilding, I guess. You know, but you know, you can never count Tampa Bay out.
Yeah, no, Tampa Bay's a scrappy team. You know,
their analytics. When you think analytics, I think of the Tampa Bay the Rays because they 100%.
Yeah,
a bunch of nobodies.
No, 100%. They know how to put a team together. This is what I'm talking about. I just finished talking about how it's easier to put a team together that way and then spend all that money and try to build a championship. This is why the Dodgers haven't won a championship since the COVID era, you know? And they have all these amazing players and they put this amazing cast together. And at the end of the day, when it comes to it, they're unable to succeed. Yeah, they're winning 100 games, but they can't finish. They have a serious problem finishing. Maybe it's because they don't have any chemistry and you have too many stars on the team and there's too many egos. There's something about a team like that that doesn't work for me. And this is why a team like, you know, the Mets last year with Verlander and Scherzer and, you know, didn't work out because, you know, the egos and you just can't spend money and think you're going to win. You know, the Dodgers haven't really been able to figure it out. And this is why it doesn't work. You know, when you have a team that's young and a team that is hungry and they build chemistry, it's a way better way to, you know, win a chip. That's just my opinion. The Mets, you know, we had the Dodgers come into town. And I was at the doubleheader with my dad prior to him going back to Puerto Rico, and we lost both those games. We were winning in the first game, and, you know, it looked good for us, and we, you know, we imploded, and we lost it in the late innings. Then they beat us in the last game. Then Arizona came at the time for 4-game series. We split that with them, and then we traveled to Washington, and we were able to sweep them, which is, you know, it didn't mean anything to me. Washington is rebuilding as well, and they're a mediocre team. So, you know, we have similar records. We both suck. But, you know, when two teams suck and, you know, they go out there on the field, it makes it somewhat interesting, you know, because there's a battle that, you know, you see between these two teams because they're similar and they're both struggling. And you see competitive nature come out of both ball clubs in the sense of, like, we don't want to be last in the division. You know, it was a divisional series, and this is how it works. You see it all the time, you know. But baseball is always interesting because the worst ball club can always, you know, beat up on a team like the Dodgers, you know. Because the Dodgers, you know, they're not unstoppable. It depends on, you know, what type of day the ball club has, you know, and that's what makes baseball interesting. You can't always bet on the Dodgers and say, yeah, they're going to win because it doesn't work that way. And then, you know, we're leading up to the Mets traveling to London, and they're going to play a 2-game series against the Phillies. And we're going to see what happens. But the Mets have been struggling, you know.
And yeah.
We're not seeing really interesting baseball from that side.
Yeah, and Atlanta is also struggling in the NL East. Atlanta played Boston in a two-game series in Boston and a four-game series in Washington. They split the game with the Red Sox, but the disappointing was they lost 3 out of 4 to the Nationals, and their pitching, they have problems with the starting pitching. Their offense is not producing. They just did get Murphy back to catcher, but Acuña has been out. He's been a big loss.
Sad, yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't matter whoever you put out there. Adam Duvall, where I think he's a replacement, but they're just not producing. It's just, I think the pitching is their problem, so there might be a team that might be looking for pitching. Right now, Atlanta would be a wild card team right now if the season would end, because Philadelphia just keeps winning and the Braves seem to just keep falling.
Hey, the Mets are sellers? Yeah, that's crazy because, you know, I expected Atlanta to, you know, do their thing, and you know they always do. And at the beginning of the year, I said, you know, Atlanta's gonna make the postseason and they're gonna go for a big run. But of course, you would love to see Atlanta versus Baltimore in a World Series, because you would get to actually go to one of those games and you would actually be like the most, I don't know, excited about seeing something crazy like that. But,
yeah, that'd be amazing.
Yeah, that would be amazing. I would love to, I would actually go down and visit you, because I'm a closet Baltimore Orioles fan. I love what they're doing over there. And, you know, you and I went to a 3-game series last year. Was it last year or the year before?
In 2020.
2020?
Or 2021, right after COVID.
Right after COVID. We went to a series, and what a great stadium. You know, what a great fan base, you know. And we enjoyed ourselves, you know. I'm a Mets fan, and it was great. And I love the energy there. And that would be amazing to see Atlanta play the Baltimore Orioles. I know you would be in heaven. But it doesn't seem like it's going to happen this year. The Phillies are running. They're running hard. They have a great staff. And they know what they're doing. They usually wrap up late, but this year they started out early. And it's really happening for them.
And the Yankees are the same way in the AL East. They just keep winning. And Baltimore, even if they're winning, the Yankees just keep winning and winning. And so it's okay. They might be a wild card team. Look at the Arizona Diamondbacks. They made the World Series as a wild card team. Same thing with the Phillies. Texas Rangers.
And the Phillies,
and
too.
And the Phillies.
Yeah.
So maybe it's better to be a wild card team. Who knows? The season's still early. Yeah. But it would be cool to see Atlanta, but Atlanta has some issues. Baltimore has issues, believe it or not. They need some pitching. So they just signed Julio Teheran, former Atlanta Braves. He was with the Orioles in the spring training. They let him go. He went to the Mets. They let him go. So he's just a fill-in-the-gapper. They called up some young guy in the minors. But who knows? Because they just lost John Means for the year. So, and Kyle Brash just came back. So who knows how well he's going to be. But they're definitely going to make a move, Baltimore, for a pitcher, and I think Atlanta's going to be doing the same thing. They have no choice but to get pitching. So it'll be interesting what they say. But what's our do you have a question this week? What's our we have a trivia question we like to do every
week. Of course I have a trivia question for you. I always have one for you. But this is a really interesting question. So you know how hard it is to win a Triple Crown, right? And you understand that Ohtani's on pace to win the Triple Crown this year. For some reason, you know, everybody forgets that Ohtani can really run. All right, so to win the Triple Crown, right, you have to have, what, the best average, right? You have to have the most home runs, right? And what's the third? The third is...
I believe in most RBIs.
No, it's average, no? Average.
Average home runs and RBIs, right?
Average home runs and steals.
Oh, steals? Okay.
Yes. That's the Triple Crown, right?
So that's very hard to do.
Right?
But,
it's super hard to do, right? So this is the question. So who was the last player to win the batting Triple Crown before Miguel Cabrera in 2012? So you have to understand that Miguel Cabrera was an amazing player. He was, you know, he was a unicorn. So he won it in 2012. I want you to try to tell me who was the last player prior to that. And I think I'm going to stump you on this one, but I have the facts here and I have really good
information. My guess would be either Sammy Sosa or Mark McGuire, because that was the year they were both bashing home runs. So I would think if you, you know, with all those home runs, you had good averages and runs. So I'm going to go with Mark McGuire. That's my guess.
You're so wrong. It's a player named Carl Yastrzemski Sr., which is funny because you know that his grandson plays for the San Francisco Giants right now, right? So you have to understand that the last time it happened was in 1967. This is how good of a player Miguel Cabrera was, all right? For those of you who don't know, that's how crazy it was, all right? So he played his entire career in Boston, right? He started his career as a left fielder, right? But then he also played 33 games at third base. So he was a multi, you know, multi-talented player, right? And then after that, he mainly played first baseman. You know how it is, you know, for the superstars. After, you know, a while, you know, they're still able to hit, but they have problems fielding. So he became a first baseman. Then he became a DH, which worked for him in the American League, because, you know, back in that day, the National League didn't have a DH. But yeah, Carl Michael Yastrzemski Sr. Yeah,
his grandson's name is Mike Yastrzemski.
Yes.
He's nowhere near as good as his dad, his grandfather. No, his grandfather. His grandfather, excuse me. But yeah, it's if he can have a third of a career that his grandfather had, oh my God, he'll definitely make the Hall of Fame. Exactly. But anyway, this is a good podcast. I'm glad we got Craig on. You did great. It was fun. And we'll be back up in a couple of days to review this current week that we're currently in.
It definitely will. It was a great podcast, man. Craig, much love. And Lash, as always, have a great night.
Take care, man. Good work. See ya.
You too, brother. See you, everybody.